politics without the soap opera, with unfiltered constitutional conservative truth. The Conservative Review with Daniel Horowitz.
And welcome back, fellow American patriots and Minutemen, standing at the ready to fight anew for everything from life, liberty, and property, culture, demographics, and future destiny. All of it in between, upside down, inside out. We cover it all here very comprehensively at CR Podcast. This is your host, Daniel Horowitz, back here today for a brand new week. Very special day today, April 8th. Obviously, a total solar eclipse in much of the populated parts of the eastern and midwestern parts of the country. Truly unbelievable if you think about it, that the most spectacular eclipses occurs only on the planet where human life is there to view it and appreciate it. One of the many proofs of God's dominion on this earth. And, you know, God has his dominion. We're not going to change the weather, okay? When you look at phenomenon like the eclipse, it's quite evident that there's nothing we can do that's going to control the macro of the climate of the, you know, universe of the earth. But what we can do is control what is in our dominion. Like it says in Psalms, God controls the heaven, but he gave the earth to us. Now, obviously, God controls the earth as well, but he gave us the free will to make the right choices. And my question to you is, when are we going to use our dominion to end the political eclipse that we've been suffering from since 2017, really since 2015? That everything revolves around this imposter man, that we cannot focus on anything but Trump, that he controls our movement, whatever party we have, whatever issue he prioritizes, that's what we prioritize. Wherever he goes wayward, we remain silent. At what point are we going to take our own destiny in our own hands? You want to know why it is that we could have a border invasion the way it is, so insane, and yet nothing gets done about it? How we could have 4 years worth of death and destruction from COVID and the COVID shots, and they're still on the market. They're still mandated in a lot of red state medical schools and, you know, public universities. And nothing changes. The answer is because we're distracted. Just like an eclipse, we're blocked out by this dark shadow for nothing. It's just so bizarre. What is it going to take? Well, Daniel, there's no other choice. Well, yeah, we tried to warn you for a freaking year when we had not just any other option, but an option in the form of the best governor we had in our lifetime. So now you're like, well, there's nothing we can do. Yeah, well, that's your fault. But moreover, there is something we can do. Re-listen to Friday's show, where I talked about, with our special guest, Evan Newman, the state director of the South Carolina State Freedom Caucus Network. And he explained chapter and verse how with relatively low funding, I mean, just some local donors, they have the national network, in South Carolina, they were able to build what's tantamount to a new party and a new movement. And they now have challengers up against a majority of RINO members of the state house. That's what we could be doing times 20. DeSantis is what we could be doing times 20. But we're not. Most primaries still have yet to occur. So don't tell me that there's nothing we can do. That everything boils down to Trump v. Biden on November 5th. That's not true. We could finally realize that this man is an imposter. He subverts our values. He distracts us at best, but is now subverting us on every issue. And now the abortion stuff, and it's not just abortion, but it's emblematic of a man that doesn't believe or understand, or sometimes both, heart and brain about an issue, and therefore, at the first sign of media narrative, he runs away from it. And this is what we were trying to rectify with the Bush-era GOP for years. We wanted a fighter, right? That's why everyone wanted Trump. The typical GOP, it's not a winning issue. You can't cut government. You can't cut spending. You can't be too strong of a social conservative. Same crap. There's nothing different. The only difference is that unlike the old GOP where we had a hard right that would oppose it, now it's the hard right particularly that's been captured. A complete eclipse, except it doesn't last for 3 minutes. It's lasted for 8 years. So at least recognize that this man is not the solution. You want to say, you know, versus Biden, he's better. I respect it. I understand that. Fine, go vote for him. But don't lie to yourself that that's going to solve our problems. And work on our movement to build a parallel ground game. I want to talk about, I'll start off with Trump's abortion comments. We'll go from there to demonstrate how this is a pattern since he's won the nomination. And then I do want to get to some news on the vaccines. That's very important. But, you know, during a case of totality of political eclipse, I don't know what sort of information we could put forth about the vaccines that will change anything. Well, because that big dark shadow there is obscuring the truth because he himself supports the vaccines. But anyway, our first sponsor today is Miracle Made. We certainly need a lot of miracles in politics. I can't give you a miracle in politics. You got to work hard for it. But when it comes to bed sheets, trymiracle.com/conservative has it for you. We talked a lot about their temperature regulating silver infused fibers on the bed sheets. By the way, it feels luxurious, but what you don't know is that there's technology there that makes it when you go to sleep at night, you know, you're often in the winter time, it's been a cold April so far, at least in my part of the country. And you put on a lot of blankets, but then you wake up really hot and sweaty, not with Miracle Made sheets. But there's another aspect I want to point out. It's self-cleaning. So it kills 99.9% of bacteria. A, you don't have to wash it as often. And B, it really protects you from things like acne. For a while, I had acne on my back for many years. It's gotten a lot better with these sheets just because they're so clean. By the way, it's 99.7% bacterial growth prevention. So just want to be accurate there. Anyway, you go to trymiracle.com/conservative and they will throw in with promo code conservative. Really amazing gift, by the way. So you save over 40% and you get 3 free towels with the same technology, plus save an extra 20%. Plus, they're so confident in their product that they will give you 30-day money-back guarantee if you think I'm joshing you and you know you don't find them to be spectacular, but I know you will. I know you want to upgrade your sleep with Miracle today by going to trymiracle.com/conservative and promo code conservative for your free 3-piece towel set today. Okay, so Trump makes his comments. He's like, I'm going to make a major statement. Now, normally, if you believe in, let's say you believe in an issue, but you believe that it's kind of a losing issue temporarily. And I myself have said that, look, we have inflation, invasion, biomedical security, freedom. There's so many issues we could run on. It doesn't mean you retreat on abortion, but I wouldn't lead with abortion and rape. That's kind of stupid. Lead on this. And then where you have control, what you do is you pie the corner. And this is really what we did with the Rainbow Jihad. How the left was winning and now we're winning because we started with their absurdities and we, you know, their overplaying of their hand and we moved in and moved in. So what you do is you don't talk about rape all day. You accentuate their extremism of not even willing to protect babies after they're born and starving them to death. There's a lot of good stuff you could push on that. I've also noted that if you would parlay these sort of Democrat-inspired and funded internationally funded state ballot initiatives to make abortion a right, if you would put up against that a bodily autonomy right against biomedical procedures and coerced medical devices and injections, that would be a perfect, perfect antidote. And yet, I haven't been able to get this in a single state so far. But that's what it looks like when you actually believe in something and you understand an issue. You might have certain events that, based on that time, make that issue, you know, a little bit of a loser, gives the other side momentum, but you don't give up on it. Okay, you find other issues that are winning to lead on, all the while quietly pushing your agenda. But instead, he announces publicly, yes, we have to be able to win. Oh my gosh, we have to use common sense to win elections. So it's basically going in front of the nation and saying, I believe it's a losing issue. Again, even if you think that, you don't say that. Oh, we can't talk about rape, he said. But then why talk about it? He should have put out a statement and said, you know, at least if you're going to say that, but I am committed to stopping the radical late-term abortions, which poll very well, and, you know, go on to cite all the statistics we have of based on which week you're talking about, how we're one of the only developed nations that allow it. Even left-wing Europe doesn't allow it to the degree we do in a lot of these states. But he's like, just leave it to the states. But the problem with that is that Trump hasn't just left it to the states. Trump bashed Florida and Iowa and other states for doing a heartbeat bill, even in red states. So, you know, even in states where we have that political power, he's opposed it. And then now he's green lighting the fact that he will not put any federal restriction at any stage, any sort of procedure, under any circumstance. And what I want to tell you is that this is not coming from, look, I think we need to fight. We have so many other issues that are killing us. You know, you can make the argument, again, that there's 10 other issues we could win on. Let's win on those and then accomplish what we can on abortion. No, no, no. It's not coming from that. It's coming from the fact that one after another, he is pandering to liberal Republican donors and throwing one issue after another overboard. And the proof is in the pudding, because if you believe this was about political triage, that really he's pro-life and really privately worried to become president till he'll be good on it, but, you know, he just doesn't feel like this is something he wants to lead on. So first of all, you would do it quietly. Just, you know, you would omit it rather than every second saying, I will make a national heartbeat bill or national, even a pain capable bill. No, you just don't talk about it that much. And if you do, you again accentuate the radical stance of the left on the issue, how they're on the opposite side of, you know, 70% of the public on a lot of their views with, you know, partial birth and, you know, even after it's born. But also, here's the problem. Even if you believe that we're losing momentum politically on the abortion issue, but we're gaining momentum, as we talked about last week, against the Rainbow Jihad. So if this were about just kind of like, you know, electoral calculations, what is politically auspicious for an election, why would Melania Trump be headlining a fundraiser, the largest one ever, for the Log Cabin Republicans? See what I mean? What, that you're compelled politically to embrace that? Well, it's the same reason why he embraced Bud Light. They were not very popular, and to this day they're not. They got crushed. There's no greater polling data than marketing and sales. People vote with their pocketbook. And Bud Light got destroyed. Why would you beg the public to stop destroying them? You see what I'm saying? This is part of the commentary that's going to be lost with a lot of my colleagues today. They're going to get in the nitty-gritty of abortion. But it's part of a broader theme that rather than punching through the narrative, the conventional wisdom, Trump often agrees to it. I'm not saying never in his career, you know, did he stand by a conservative issue when he was president. He did here and now, but too often he will join it. He takes like a sort of, well, if I can't beat it, I'll join it. But often his definition of can't beat it is a very low threshold because he doesn't fully believe or understand the issue or a mixture of both. We saw that with Obamacare. We talked about that recently. He's now adopted Obamacare. And I want to give you another example of this. Again, I'm talking about very disparate issues. So it's not like, well, he believes this. People have some sort of pseudo-intellectual argument. Well, Daniel, you have to admit that abortion we're losing on. And again, a lot of it is because Trump dipped it in feces. Like, Trump has a lot of nerve to get in front of the public, sound like a narcissistic buffoon. Okay? I mean, everything you can to turn off suburban voters, he does. And they're like, oh, abortion's the problem. Well, maybe you're the problem. I mean, name me the voter that is like, look, I could tolerate Trump's shtick. I could tolerate the narcissism. I could tolerate the personality, the stuff that comes out of his mouth. But just don't be strong on abortion. Once he gave that statement today, oh man, now I'm voting for him. No, it's just the opposite. Like we saw with DeSantis winning Palm Beach County and other formerly liberal areas in Florida, it's when you have a guy who is put together, he sounds sincere, he's consistent, he's accomplished, he's focused on policy, he's focused on the people, not himself, and gives off that vibe, they'll be willing to vote for him despite maybe disagreeing on one or two issues like abortion. But the other way around, the notion that, oh yeah, Trump's back to being a liberal on abortion, so I'll tolerate all the narcissism. Name me a voter that is like that. Makes no sense. But it's part of a broader theme with this man. It's, oh my gosh, we got to do the ventilators. We got to do the lockdowns. I have the best vaccines. So we saw a similar thing with Israel. We had on a guest on Thursday who talked about this. We talked about, you know, in depth, what's going on there. And obviously Biden has declared war on Israel. Now Israel's pulling out their troops. They're not attacking Rafah, which is where all the Hamas people are. So we literally have a government that supports Hamas. You would hope that if you're running against Biden, you would have moral clarity on the issue. And I picked this issue because Trump was the most pro-Israel president around. Naturally, he was very pro-Israel. But he said this a couple times already. He was asked on Thursday or Friday, I want to say, by Hugh Hewitt on his radio show, are you still standing 100% with Israel? You achieved the Abraham Accords, which was the first peace deal since Sadat. So are you 100% with Israel, and what's your advice to Netanyahu? He declined to say in the affirmative that he was. But he said, you got to get it over with. You have to get back to normalcy. I'm not sure that I'm loving the way they're doing it because you have to have victory. You have to have victory, and it's taking a long time. Well, I mean, what the hell do you want from them? And the other thing I hate, they put out tapes all the time. Every night they're releasing tapes of buildings falling down. They shouldn't be releasing tapes like that. They're doing, that's why they're losing the PR war. Israel is absolutely losing the PR war. They're releasing the most heinous, most horrible tapes of buildings falling down. And people are imagining there's a lot of people in those buildings. I mean, first of all, he sounds retarded. Just every time he talks, he sounds completely unintelligent. And don't tell me that abortion is a bigger deterrent to suburban voters supporting him than the way he talks. But anyway, either he supports this weedy view of like left-wing warfare, which is in itself is a problem, because if we ever had to get into a conflict that is in our interest, I would not want a president to have this sort of weedy mentality that we have to sit and bean count civilian casualties to do what needs to be done to protect our country. But moreover, I don't think Trump really believes in that. I think it's he buys into this PR war. Oh, well, the people say, the media says. Notice the way this man thinks. The entire point was to get an outside-the-box person like Trump was perceived as being to punch through that narrative, not to accept it. Oh, well, they say that they're bombing civilians. What the hell do you want from them? Again, I'm not even trying to get into him being wrong on the Israel issue in and of itself. I'm trying to show you it represents the same thing you're seeing with abortion, the same thing you saw with COVID, the same things you saw with some of the economic policies with the Federal Reserve and concern about the stock market. Trump fears a firestorm, a political media firestorm. And as you well know, that is how the media changes the world. They create a firestorm behind something. And you have to have the fortitude, the knowledge, and the beliefs to fight through it. Otherwise, they know how to pick your lock every time. I saw this with the First Step Act. Trump's intuition, as it was with Israel and many other issues, was good. It's like, no, lock him up. Trump was like that his entire career. Even when he was more of a Democrat, he was always, you know, for being tough on crime. This goes back to his books in the 80s. And yet, as soon as they got this fawning media attention and the Kanye West and the Kim Kardashian, Trump started, I talked about this at the time, he would cite very knowingly the media coverage of him on that, which was very fawning. See what I'm saying? This is very concerning for those of you who think he's going to come in there and be a wrecking ball against the system. There is zero evidence of that. Not just from, you know, sort of the pre-Trump indictments from his previous presidency. But, you know, because everyone thought that, oh, well, once they indict him, he's going to retaliate. I really don't think he will, honestly. So stop putting your eggs all in that basket. By the way, one more thing on this, of going with conventional wisdom. So Trump adopts conventional wisdom when it comes to primaries, right? The same thing that, oh, even in a red state, in order to win, you need an establishment candidate. We got to win the seat. So we saw this very evidently this year with the Montana Senate race, when we had Matt Rosendale, who's one of the most conservative members, and Trump forces him out of the race, destroys him, and supports the candidate being put up by McConnell and McCarthy, which is Tim Sheehy, this random guy with no record that all of a sudden has all these big globalist donors. And he bought into this notion, well, you know, he'll be more electable. And again, there was no evidence of that. Remember, electability more than ideology is based on the quality of the candidate. Sometimes the more right-wing guy is more electable. Sometimes the more moderate guy is more electable. Depends on the quality of the candidate. And there was no evidence that this guy had anything going for him. We just knew he was a Navy SEAL that had been recruited. Well, guess what? So from the Washington Post, Tim Sheehy, a charismatic former Navy SEAL who's a Republican candidate for Senate in Montana, cited a gunshot wound he received in combat that he said left a bullet in his right arm as evidence of his toughness. I got thick skin, though it's not thick enough. I have a bullet stuck in my arm still from Afghanistan, Sheehy said in a video at a December campaign event. It was one of several inconsistent accounts Sheehy had shared about being shot while deployed. But in 2015, he told a different story. After a family visit to Montana's Glacier National Park, he told a ranger that he accidentally shot himself in the right arm that day with his Colt 45 revolver. It fell and discharged while he was loading his vehicle in the park, according to the filing in U.S. District Court for Montana. The self-inflicted gunshot left a bullet lodged in his right forearm. And he, you know, the reason we know about this is because he was given a federal citation for illegally discharging a weapon in a national park. Asked this week about the citation, which has not been previously reported, she told the Washington Post that the statement he gave the ranger was a lie. He said he made up the story about the gun going off to protect himself and his former platoon mates from facing potential military investigation. So I don't know what the truth is, but this is the sort of thing that's going to eat you alive, okay? Again, if we're going to expend political capital, could we at least expend it on being hardcore on the issues? And this gets back to abortion. Oh my gosh, no. You're losing because of abortion. You're going to have all the defenders that anyone else, any rhino who would say this stuff, Bud Light, Obamacare, the vaccines, you know, you name it, abortion, log cabin Republicans, Bruce Jenner, any other Republican doing it, oh, that guy's a rhino dirtbag. But with Trump, all of a sudden, there's this retroactive pseudo-intellectual prowess that's ascribed to whatever sort of political shift he's made. And a lot of them are going to be like, yeah, well, that's brilliant because we're losing on the issue. But why is it that it's always the ideology that's thrown overboard at the first perception of electoral liability, yet the behavior, which is gratuitous, right? I mean, in order to succeed politically, we need to be pro-life, we need to be pro-family values, we need to be pro-limited government, right? I mean, isn't that the point? I mean, I think, at least for myself, that's what we're trying to do. So you don't want to throw that overboard, because what point is there to win just to have a stupid R win an election? The point is to win on the issues, right? The issues is why we're in this business. I mean, I think I'm answering my own question. For a lot of people, it's not. But supposedly, it is. So that's the last thing you're going to want to throw overboard. The first thing are the gratuitous personality nonsense, which, frankly, is not just an asset that you might reluctantly throw overboard, but we shouldn't believe in anyway. We don't want liars. We don't want philanderers. We don't want people going around with porn stars. All right, you know, you put a gun to my head and I have a candidate in the general election that one has this baggage, but, you know, he'll govern better. Fine, I'll vote for him. But ideally, we should be moving away from this. So it's not even like we're nominating more moderate candidates, but at least they have, you know, a straight and narrow, totally clean lifestyle. No. They have so much baggage. So you tell me how this guy's going to win the Senate in Montana. What a freaking joke. But again, nobody will follow up on this. But I want to get to the second half of today's show. I want to get back to COVID, and it does tie into this. Because the same reason why we're not rectifying immigration and the invasion and inflation, we're not rectifying COVID. We're not having a reckoning because we are so distracted because of the political eclipse of Donald J. Trump. In this case, because he particularly supports the vaccines. So I want to give you a little bit of a rundown of some of the latest news on this. First, our other sponsor today is fastgrowingtrees.com. Now is the time. These weeks in April, in most climates, is when you're going to want to start sprucing up your yard as things start growing. Right now, my grass is starting to grow, and a lot of the trees we bought from Fast Growing Trees, along with two million other happy customers, is starting to bloom these weeks in April and May. At Fast Growing Trees, they're fast in every aspect. First of all, when you process your online order, it shows up on your door like 2 days later. We've had that with every product. They have a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, so you don't, you know, sink money into the ground and then nothing comes up. I've had that a lot. And then they have both outdoor, they curate online. You could divide it by shade, privacy, beautification, but also inside. So we're now growing tropical stuff. We have lime, we have mango trees from Fast Growing, and they could grow in a northern climate if you do it right inside. They're all very hardy, all amazing quality, and that's why fastgrowingtrees.com has rapidly become my wife's favorite sponsor here. Believe me, she keeps charging that credit card with this. She's like turned our interior into a shrine for fast growing trees. So this spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners only to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase by using code conservative at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using promo code conservative. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply, so make sure to scoop up the deal today. So, folks, you know, I saw this story a couple weeks ago. Lauren Boebert, young, very, let's just say, energetic member of Congress. And she had emergency surgery for a blood clot. Kind of weird, right? Now, everyone thought, well, Lauren's a right winger, she definitely didn't get the shot. But it turns out if you actually look in her history, she did get the shot. You know, a lot of people didn't know at the time. I'm not blaming her. I'm just stating a fact. She actually did get the shot. Or it's implied in one of her posts that everyone in her family got it and that it included herself. So there is a bunch of information out that it turns out and we always knew this, that the subclinical myocarditis, subclinical blood clotting, subclinical hematological and cardiovascular disorders is much greater than we could have imagined. And there's a couple things I really wanted to share with you on this front. This is from a couple of stories here from the Epoch Times, which, you know, I give them credit for continuing to cover this. There's an Australian study, preprint out. Heart scarring was detected more than 1 year after vaccination in some people who suffered myocarditis following receipt of a shot. A third of 60 patients with follow-up cardiac imaging done more than 12 months after their myocarditis diagnosis had persistent late gadolinium enhancement. So LGE, which is in the majority of cases reflective of heart scarring. Again, you never recover from that. Australian researchers pointed this out in a March 22nd preprint. We found that the incidence of persistent myocardial fibrosis is high, seen in almost a third of patients at greater than 12 months post-diagnosis. That is a big, big deal. Remember that transient minor myocarditis, low level, what do they call it? Minor, mild myocarditis. There's no such thing. You scar a person's heart. I mean, it's possible they won't have problems, but that doesn't go away. That's a big, big risk. They broke the hearts of an entire generation of humanity. Man, can you imagine growing up, you heard different stories of, you know, different drugs that were put on the market. A couple people took them. There were some side effects. They gave something to all of humanity with a very small percentage refusing. They mandated it. To this day, it's still mandated in, you know, hospitals, even, you know, medical schools, all these things. And it's still on the market, and it's still recommended in 49 out of 50 states. To this day, we have seniors going in every fall to the pharmacy. Every time I go to the pharmacy, I picked up a thing of Sudafed a couple weeks ago. I was floored at the amount of seniors there to get shots. So, you know, it might be a relatively small percentage of the entire public still getting it. But among seniors, it's still pretty measurable. And, you know, you'll have a lot of them are kind of losing it a little bit. And their children say, oh, no, this is for your good. Again, you talk about being pro-life. This is a bigger pro-life issue. It's one thing if Trump were like pedal to the metal, you know, look, this is something that's recommended by people. You don't just get recommended an abortion if you don't want one. So look, I think I want to retreat on abortion, but we're going to go pedal to the metal against the death shots. No, he still thinks he created them and is proud of it. Another study out, just in terms of the persistence of this, how long this could stay in you. Bruce Patterson has a paper out, persistence of S1 spike protein in CD16 monocytes up to 245 days post-vaccination. The monocytes are sort of those garbage trucks that clear fragments of viruses and pathogens. So these things Velcro on and get stuck to your monocytes. And that's how you have this long-term rolling, you know, especially neurological inflammation that people have indefinitely. Again, 245 days later, found it's still there. And then there's another study here I wanted to share with you. A bombshell Saudi Arabian study published in Curious. If you want to look this up, if you guys want to bookmark this, 27% of a study that they, a population, they sent out surveys of people at a diagnosis among people who said they got vaccinated, 27% reported cardiac complications. Now, again, we can't prove that all those people were from the vaccine. It could just happen to be that a few of them here and there got it afterwards. People do get you right. So there's no control group. It's a survey. But it has a lot of strengths in the study design, in that number is so high across all demographic groups, there's no way that's not a massive signal. 27%. So if you want to look it up, it's Curious, is the journal. It's titled A Study on the Self-Reported Physician-Diagnosed Cardiac Complications Post-mRNA Vaccination in Saudi Arabia. If you want to jot that down as the title, Google it, you'll find it. And according to the authors, the trial site has an article out on this. They questioned random recipients of the shot. And the outcome provided, so it's funny, they dance around it. They dance around, they don't headline the 27% number, but it's in there, and trial site, dug that out. They're like, the results provide valuable insights into the safety profile of mRNA vaccines in specific contexts, fostering informed public health strategies in Saudi Arabia. So they dance around it. But it had a sample size of 804 participants from the online survey. After tabulating and aggregating data, the team of Saudi researchers performed statistical analysis employing IBM SPSS version 23 and Microsoft Excel. They explored the association between demographic variables, vaccination behaviors, health diagnosis, and perceptions. It has a lot of permutations of details on the 804 people. They found that 218 of the 804 experienced cardiac complications post-vaccination. About half of them experienced it within a month. So again, very strong signal there. Now, in case you're wondering if this meant like self-reporting bias. Now, look, in any survey, there will be a self-reporting bias. But I mean, oh, well, did you experience heart problems? Like, I think my heart seemed a little quicker. I seemed out of breath. Like, you know, things that could be subjective. No. All 218 were admitted to the hospital. Okay? So this is a third of the people that filled out the survey as having gotten vaccinated. A third of them reported to having gone to the hospital. A good chunk, you know, half within a month, the majority within 2 months, for cardiac events. And out of the 218, more than half of them, 127, were admitted to critical care. Of those people, 67, slightly more than half, were in the hospital for more than 4 days. So you can't miss that. But without evidence, the authors note, the unique genetic, cultural, and lifestyle factors of the Saudi population may influence responses. But it's not like there's any confounder that they could point to, oh, these were really sick people, or these were really people that were older with comorbidities. If that would have been true, they would have asserted that. In other words, when you go to the section in the study with strengths and limitations of the study, in limitations, they'll say, well, you know, the demographics were skewed towards the sicker. Never say that. I think if you dig into the tables, you'll see it's a pretty broad cross-sectional of any population. So they have to say, well, there might be something unique genetically about Saudi Arabia that prompts a third of the people to have heart damage after the shots. But could you imagine, you want to talk about a political eclipse, how we could be so distracted, so unfocused, so in the dark, that you could have a third potentially of the world damaged, has damaged hearts from the shots, those are the people still alive, and yet, nothing changes. Nothing changes. But then again, how could you change anything if the man who's not just the leader of your party and movement, but he is your everything, he is your image, he is your salvation, he's a modern-day Jesus to the fake conservative leaders in this country. He is the biggest champion of the shots. I mean, folks, the amount of information we have to indict, some of you might have seen this is also from the Epoch Times, that the V-safe data, you remember the V-safe data that CDC's own pharmacovigilance program showed very early on in the first hours, the first days of late December, early January 2020, when this could have been prevented, you know, 99% of the population could have been saved from getting it, much less mandated upon them. 7.7% experienced, self-reported experienced, having to seek some sort of medical attention. So it turns out we now have the text messages that ICANN and those folks are going through. Thanks for the legal help of Aaron Seary for getting a federal judge to release this. We now know that they had 780,000 text messages submitted to them. 780,000. The people complained about facial paralysis, heart inflammation, miscarriages, seizures. One person described their experience with sudden loss of consciousness and seizures immediately after injection, leading to an ER visit. Another person detailed a diagnosis of Bell's palsy. It's unreal. Out of the 523,000 individuals who reported, some instances included dozens of reports of heart inflammation, thousands of tinnitus reports, and they knew this from day one. Could you imagine? I still have to pinch myself that 3 years into us reporting this here, at a political level, we have not moved the needle one inch. Now, is that because this is not a winning issue? We don't have enough intellectual firepower, evidence, data, studies, science? We have, from the government's own pharmacovigilance program, enough to create the biggest scandal in American history. And yet it's nothing. Why? Because of the political eclipse that we face, that this blocking, as long as Trump is the leader of the right, and is our everything, and nothing goes by him, nothing gets done without his support, and certainly contrary to his support. The left will continue to have a free lane to screw with us on every issue that matters with no backstop. I'm sorry, but that's the reality. I mean, could you imagine, rather than putting out a statement sounding so weak and defensive on abortion, why not put out a statement demanding that Johnson pull his bills for Ukraine and FISA 702 reauthorization? We'll talk about that in greater detail later in the week, but those are big issues that Trump's base is in one direction, Johnson's doing the other thing, and, I mean, FISA, Trump hasn't said anything. Ukraine, he supports the Lend-Lease. Why is he not forced to give a statement on that? Why is he not forced to give a statement on the vaccines? Because no one demands it of him. And then, of course, some of you might have seen the news last week, and this is unbelievable. Again, you don't have to go to some sort of right-wing website. The New England Journal of Medicine, Pfizer's own researchers, finally, after they grifted $12 billion from our government to fund Paxlovid, we talked about it in great detail the minute this thing came out. It's mixed with an AIDS drug, contraindications, creates a metallic taste in the mouth, creates a rebound effect, and then that means many, many side effects likely have not been studied. They now admit in their own study, published in the New England Journal of Medicine, that it doesn't work. And if they say it doesn't work, you can imagine it's negative efficacy. And obviously, their study, their trial, what they published didn't look at side effects. It was designed to look at efficacy. So it's not just, all right, no runs, no hits, no errors. It likely damaged people. $12.6 billion. It's still funded. It's still standard of care. And yet, there is no effort to fight this. Well, then again, they're not fighting the border invasion that everyone sees evidently. So Paxlovid, you know, you have to educate people. No one knows. So, you know, we have no movement. It's unreal. They basically found out that this is from their own researchers. So you can imagine what the truth really is. The usefulness of nirmatavir, ritonavir, that's the name of the, you know, the active chemicals, in patients who are not at high risk for severe COVID-19 has not been established. The usefulness has not been established. The median time until COVID-19 symptoms ended through day 28 was 12 days in the treatment group, 13 in the placebo group, which is not statistically significant. And there you go. The study was 11 months from August 2021 through July 2022. $12.6 billion spent, all on a lie. All on a lie. Now, remember what they don't say is that what they don't say in this study, but we have in another New England Journal of American Medical Association, JAMA, the other top journal. If you remember that, one in four patients received a rebound. The reason why this is important is because, you know, there's one thing you could say, oh, it prevents, you know, critical illness, which it doesn't, and it's not proven to do that. But people don't get critically ill anymore. It's more of a cold to a flu, and it's been that way for several years already, since Omicron. So you're taking something that is a flu that, by definition, even according to their own lie about critical illness, but it doesn't give you critical illness, so it doesn't ameliorate flu symptoms, and it gives you a rebound of the flu. You understand? We now have things that are open scams, openly killing people, openly destroying the country. If you had a serious movement built around godly people that present themselves well to the public and actually accomplish things, the sky is the limit as to what we could accomplish. But we have decided since 2015 to engage in this political eclipse and not just have Trump as one figure or even the lead figure, but everything is him. So nothing changes. Did you know, to this day, after everything we know, less than half the red states, only like a third of them, have fully banned the COVID vaccine mandates in state universities and medical schools? Florida, Tennessee, Alabama, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Montana, Arizona, and Utah. I believe Louisiana is about to sign it into law because, you know, they didn't have the governorship last year. So, you know, Landry's obviously going to sign that. But that leaves a whole bunch of others that we still have that problem. Forget about taking it off the market. Why is it we never take things to the next level? Because we don't have a movement. And again, imagine if we put all this information out and we built a case for putting on the ballot a right, simple right to people that they have a right to bodily autonomy, they cannot be coerced into a medical device, injection, procedure, and they cannot be discriminated against within the realm of public accommodation based on exercising that right. Imagine what that would do to our turnout. Imagine what that would do to preserve our rights. And imagine how that could disarm the Democrat offensive on abortion and reclaim what bodily autonomy truly means, what true rights are. By the way, Trump in his video, he parroted their terminology, abortion rights. Again, if you want to retreat, just retreat and focus on other issues. Don't actively put out a statement admitting to the public that you think it's a losing issue. But then again, what is he going to focus on? Act tough on what? He's retreating on Obamacare. He's retreating on Bud Light, on the whole tranny issue. He's retreating on abortion. Nothing with the vaccines. Retreating on even Israel against Hamas, which was kind of his bread and butter. I don't understand it, but this is going to continue to happen. If he doesn't get rebuked, he's going to continue doing this. And if you don't build a parallel movement, remember, everything I'm saying, you could totally vote for the guy all you want. But if you live, you know, Freedom Caucus now has operations in about a dozen states. If you were to work on those state legislative primaries, like we talked about in South Carolina, the sky is the limit as to what we can do. You have to understand, it is 100% certainty that you will need red states to become red to protect our lives and our liberty. That is 100% true. It's very likely Trump will not win, and even if he does, even a good Trump couldn't solve this completely, and certainly we see where he's headed. So that's why I need you guys to join conaction.network. If you want to sign up for one of our teams, we now have teams with a team leader who will contact you. If you sign up, tell us a little bit about yourself. There's a little bit of a form to fill out. So that will be sent to our leaders. Again, this is all volunteer. Literally, people email me. I got to know them. They want to be team leader, and they do all the work. I don't do anything. Without them, I couldn't do anything. We got Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Iowa, Louisiana, Mississippi, Nebraska, North Carolina, North Dakota, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. Wisconsin has a Dem governor, but does have a supermajority legislature, so we have a team there. Again, some are stronger than others. We're trying to build them, but this is what we need to do. Take off those solar eclipse glasses. Stop looking up. I mean it metaphorically. You know, it's fine to enjoy God's wonders today, but what I mean it metaphorically is stop looking at what we can't affect and start looking right here in front of you on this earth looking at the plays down the field, what we can do in terms of the primaries at a state level, what we can do with legislation at a state level, the issues we can focus on. We don't need to be mooned. And that's really what this has been, one big political eclipse being mooned by one man, and then this distraction that has been built up around him that's now transmogrified from a distraction to a downright subversion, where it just takes every rhino, weenie, faggot talking point from the very Republicans that MAGA said they were going to get rid of and now just made that sentiment great again. Everything's a losing issue, except for your own disgusting, white trash, philandering mentality. Somehow that's a winner. You know, maybe sometimes you need to look in the mirror and shed your behavior that's antithetical to our values rather than shedding our values. And folks, that's just the way it is. God wants from us, Micah 6:8. A lot more going on this week. We'll cover many, many issues as we always do. Till tomorrow, God bless y'all, and thank you for listening.